there's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Over 82 game schedule, there are going to be nights like this. It's just glaring when you play a team like the Golden State Warriors that have not been playing as well, and they come in and they give a cavalier effort. I think that is what bothered people about this particular game, but that's going to happen. And we'll see over the next couple of games, will that just be a mirage or was something that was real? So I think that, you know, you get back on your horse. You have a tough team. You're playing in the Clippers, and it's going to be a marquee game. And, you know, for our fan base, and, you know, we'll let you in on a little something else that tomorrow night's game, you know, I go from doing radio tomorrow to doing television tomorrow.
Hey, there you go, yeah. Max. That's news for me. I had no idea.
Yeah. And, well, a lot of it depends. And you know, hold your breath on this.
The big girls love that. Chicks love the last shot opportunity. Somebody give me a napkin so I can wipe my mouth.
Ah. All right, it's another episode of the Cedric Maxwell Podcast. I am Josue Pavone. Cedric Maxwell coming in from Los Angeles, the Boston Celtics, looking to close out this six-game road trip. Max, I know you're having a blast out there, out in Beverly Hills. I'm sure you enjoyed your day, enjoyed your weekend. Right?
Enjoyed the everything except the game against Golden State. Really wasn't, you know, Celtics didn't play up to their standards. But to, you know, so far on this road trip, they've been outstanding other than that game. To have these last two games here in Los Angeles, you know what that means. James Worthy, we coming to get your ass. Coming to get you, big dog.
So that's gonna be a good one.
So it should be. It should be good. I think, you know, the Lakers, you know, they getting a little, they getting the advantage though, because second night of a back to back, and on top of that, the Celtics are playing the last game of a 6-game road trip, and it makes it really tough. Those getaway games at the end, trying to go back home, because the team is tired. You're tired being on the road. But if there's a team that you're going to get up for, it would be L.A., LeBron, you know, Westbrook, Anthony Davis. This team, hopefully, you get up for.
Absolutely. And we'll dive into that preview in just a few minutes. But first, we got to talk about what happened in San Francisco, man. Like you said, the Celtics caught an L. The first time they lost to a Western Conference team, and it was the finals rematch that everybody was looking forward to, but not quite the result that people expected, right? 123-107 is your final score. Klay Thompson had a heck of a night, one of his better games of the season. You say the same thing about Steph Curry, the Celtics. I mean, look, Jason Tatum, ice cold, struggled offensively. Jaylen Brown, you know, did his best to try to control the offense, especially in that second half when they just kind of muster up a comeback, but it just didn't work out. Malcolm Brogdon also played well. But this team looked very different. It almost looked like the team that we saw 6 months ago in the NBA Finals. Max, what happened in this matchup?
Well, one thing you saw not a lot of ball movement. Assist totals were down. Too much individual handling of the basketball. And what you saw from Golden State was the ball was ping-ponging around. Celtics had not really ISO'd in, I don't know, in when you think about them not moving the basketball. So it wasn't a good performance, a national televised game, but you can't expect the Celtics to have, you know, play well every single night. Jason Tatum has been unreal, but is Golden State is kryptonite. And you even look at that and you say that you did not have several people who were lined up to play. So I think that, you know, Rob being out, you know, Horford being out, I think that probably slowed the Celtics down. But there was no Andrew Wiggins either. So Celtics had an opportunity, a rested team on the road, a revenge game, and the Celtics just essentially laid an egg.
Did this effort surprise you? I mean, a week ago, you're the one that reminded everyone, right? You know, it's early. We still have to wait and see how good this Celtics team is. Let's not quite give them their flowers yet. Is this that kind of reminder that this team needed right now, that they're not great as everyone says they are, maybe?
Yeah, it's just a wake-up call to understand that, you know, you can shoot the ball. They've been shooting the heck out of the ball all year long. But there's going to be some times in a game or during the middle of the season, you're not going to shoot it as well. And therefore, you're going to have to rely on what you do defensively. Their principles were pretty good so far defensively. But in this particular game, I think they struggled because there was lack of ball movement. And at the same time, they were not connected as well on the defensive end. They had Klay Thompson. They had, Steph Curry. A lot of those guys coming off picks, shooting jump shots. And the Celtics were always a step defensively behind them.
Yeah, I thought, especially with Klay Thompson, man, on the defensive end of the floor, certainly made an impact. And him guarding someone like Jason Tatum, the best player on the Celtics, obviously, and still being able to get things done on the opposite end. You look at what this team, what they did against the Phoenix Suns, another top-tier team in the West. What, they got 5-6 more wins than the Golden State Warriors. But it shows you that the gap isn't that far, right, in the Western Conference. I mean, if you're 9th or 10th place compared to a team that's in 2nd or 3rd, I mean, it looked like the Celtics were miles ahead of the team like the Phoenix Suns, but then you see the way they look against the Golden State Warriors and you wonder, man, that gap isn't that significant as people may think it is.
Again, I think maybe just a step behind because of, you know, not shooting it well. Joe Mazzulla and his group have done a great job of getting guys in the right place. They've been connected defensively. But in that particular game, they lost focus. And to the point, even with Grant gets thrown out of a game for punching the ball in the stands. Now, eventually, if you do stuff like that, they're going to end up kicking you out. So, damn, hold on one second, Josue.
What you got, room service?
No, this is my just put on pause. Yes! Yes!
Yay. Such a gentleman. Yes. That Beverly Hills service. Okay, Max, I see you.
Yeah, my Beverly Hills service is about to get down. But it was really the strange thing about it. It was a winnable basketball game for the Celtics. And a lot of things went right, but then you look at the turnovers early in the game. I think they had about 3 turnovers, but in the second half, but they have 8, 9, 10 turnovers in the second half. Trouble. And you can't allow Golden State to get out and run on you that way. So that was some things that didn't work out. Well, Derek White, who had been so efficient shooting the ball, he didn't shoot it well. Those ancillary players who've been so good, coming off the bench, didn't play as well. So the Celtics had a lot of stuff that they can look at on tape and, gravitate towards that and only get better.
Yeah, that's true. I believe that, Max. I really do. I'm just, to be honest with you, I'm surprised. I'm just really surprised that that was the kind of effort they put together. And listen, it's not just about Jason Tatum being ice cold from the floor and not being able to find his offense. I mean, I think it was other guys as well. You look at the way this team was playing on defense, you know, the Golden State Warriors, and I'm like, man, they can really put together stops against the Celtics team when they want to, you know?
Over 82-game schedule, there are going to be nights like this. It's just glaring when you play a team like the Golden State Warriors that have not been playing as well, and they come in and they give a cavalier effort. I think that is what bothered people about this particular game, but that's going to happen. And we'll see over the next couple of games, will that just be a mirage or was something that was real? So I think that, you get back on your horse. You have a tough team. You're playing in the Clippers and it's going to be a marquee game. And, you know, for our fan base and, you know, we'll let you in on a little something else that tomorrow night's game. I go from doing radio tomorrow to doing television tomorrow.
Hey, there you go, Max. That's news for me. I had no idea.
Yeah. And well, a lot of it depends. And hold your breath on this. Paul Pierce was supposed to be doing this game. And somehow Paul Pierce had just kind of disappeared or whatever he's doing. So they've asked me to come in and do the game in his place. and Abby Chin is going over to do radio in my place with Sean Grandy. And I'm actually doing this game with your guy, Brian Scalabrine.
Max and Scal show. I love that.
Yeah.
Okay.
We get my opportunity to see me in another light, covering a team that I used to play with, the Clippers, about a year and a half when I left Boston to see what these guys are going to do. And a preview for that game will be, I'm big about the Nature Channel, and that Nature Channel always shows those the Lion Kingdom, and you see that they have the big boss lions, and they're in the big troop, and all of a sudden you see these two renegades kind of coming at the big ones. Well, that's what you have with Tatum and Brown, and going against Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. This is going to be a game of wings. Two of the best wings who are around right now, who have established themselves, and two of the upcoming best wings in Brown and Tatum.
Yeah, absolutely. And you also got one of the OG point guards who's trying to show everyone that he's still got plenty left in the tank, and that's John Wall, who's been playing terrific basketball, man. He comes off a good performance against his former team in the Washington Wizards. And, man, the Clippers have put together, a couple of not so easy wins. They're not quite there yet in the sense of meeting expectations, but I think this is sort of that turn they're trying to make, as the same way the Lakers have sort of been doing the same thing. The Clippers are just doing their best and getting other guys to step up. And of course, John Wall has been one of those guys.
Well, you with the Clippers, you've had some bumps in the road. Zubac had a game the other day for the ages. What was it? 32 points, 28 rebounds, something crazy like that he had. So the Clippers, and how can you hurt the Celtics right now? By being bigger on the inside. We don't have Rob Williams around. No Horford because, COVID protocol, he's out. It's going to really make it tough on a guy like Blake Griffin, who's coming back home to play. And any big that you have out there, to put him in a position now where he's going to have to get extended minutes with some big body guys.
How close is Rob Williams? If you had to, if you were a doctor, how close is Rob?
Here's the thing, Joshua. I don't even pretend to be a doctor. Don't even play one in my house.
But I'm at the eye test, Max. If you had to guess,
And the eye test is I really haven't seen as much. I haven't seen him do as much. I've seen him shoot the jump shots. I haven't seen the lateral movement. I haven't seen him explode off the ground yet. Celtics have a better handle on that. But I think that he's probably, and this is just me talking, I think he'll probably, as Celtic fans will probably get a good Christmas gift, that Rob will be back by the end.
Okay, that's not bad. I was thinking about one of those games against the Orlando Magic, the home and home coming up next weekend. It was a Friday, Sunday, maybe one of those. But, if you ask me, it's more of a Rob thing, right? We'll see how he feels mentally. And I think it's really up to him. I think his body's responded, and I think the team has seen what they want in a sense of being comfortable to have him go out there. But I think it's more of it's his call, It's how his body feels.
I think it's all players' calls right now in this league. It's changed. From when I played during the 80s, it was more of the management call. It was more of the coach's call. But now that you have that you've invested in this player, you've invested so much money, they have a tendency to just really wait for him to say he feels better. So I think it is more about Rob than anything else, his ability to maybe have some pain. And the thing that, he has to understand, anybody has to understand, once you get in the NBA, you are not going to be pain-free. It's not the league. It's just like you playing football. You're not going to be pain-free unless you're not playing. So you're going to have to, accept a little bit more on that side of playing with a little bit of discomfort. There's discomfort and then there's pain. You have to know which one is which and how much you can tolerate.
This episode of the Cedric Maxwell Podcast brought to you by BetOnline.ag. BetOnline remains your number one source for all your sports betting for football and basketball this season. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline. Always your continued source for sports wagering information. BetOnline features live betting, free contests, and live scores for almost any sport or game imaginable. We're the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite NFL, NBA, NHL, MMA, tennis, boxing, and even golf games and events. Head to betonline.ag to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure you use the promo code CLNS50 to receive your rewards. BetOnline, where the game starts.
We'll see where Rob stands. I mean, you're a Celtics fan. You don't want them to rush this thing, but you also want to see what the team looks like with him in the mix. And, of course, him gradually working
his way in. If you're a Celtics fan, if you're Josue, I hate to change that. If you're a Celtics fan, you can't wait for Rob Williams to come back. So I don't think that they're saying, oh, you know, we're going to let Rob know.
Hey, big picture, Celtics fans, remember.
Everybody asks me the same thing. When does Rob come back? We need Rob to come back. You know, my barber, he's, oh, okay, wait till we get Rob back next week. Or fans walk up, when is Rob coming back? So there's pressure on him to come back. And I think that fans right now aren't as willing to just say, hey, just take it easy, take it easy. They want an opportunity to see Rob, and they want to see this team at its full potential. And we saw that when Rob Williams was playing at his best, and you had Horford playing beside him. Those two guys blocked shots. They ran the floor. He was able to, you know, give you those little alley-oops around the cup. So, yeah, fans do want him back in a desperate way.
Well, how much pressure do you think the Lakers are feeling going into this matchup against the Celtics? Because let me paint a little picture for you guys, right, for everyone watching. While the Celtics are closing out this six-game road trip, the Lakers are coming off of their six-game road trip from out east. As we're recording this, they're playing the Pistons right now. They're actually up by about 15 or so. So let's just say they win that one, right? They'll go 3-3 on this road trip. Mm-hmm. They're 13th in the Eastern Conference with the matchup against the Boston Celtics. Now, Anthony Davis has been playing out of his mind when he's available. And if I was a betting man, I would say you can expect Anthony Davis and LeBron James in this matchup. How are you feeling about the Celtics' chances, Max?
Well, I think the Celtics get up for this game. I think these next couple of games are big. You're in Los Angeles, man. You're in the, you know, meet one of the media capitals of the world. And if you're a player and you understand the ramifications of playing against the Clippers, and then on top of that, as the soap opera that the Lakers have been all year, you want to come in and you want to be a fly in that ointment. I think, and I believe, the Celtics are the last team that the Lakers want to see presently coming to their building, because the Celtics could easily get ugly and they could get blown out of the water because the Celtics are that good. The Lakers talked about their defense improving. Anthony Davis playing well. Well, their defense better be on top notch. And if Brown and Tatum have those kind of games and get the ancillary pieces playing well, I mean, it could be a long night for the Lakers.
It just cracks me up, Max, because whenever you see like the Lakers get a little bit of success in come the talking heads from ESPN being, oh, see, look out. See, they're not out of it yet, guys. They're not out of it. Whoa, wait a minute. They're three and three of their last six. Like, what? Why is that news? Like, why is that a big deal here? Oh, but Anthony Davis got 57 points. Yeah, but do they always win, though? Do they always win? I mean, it's still been a long season for these guys.
Stephen A. Smith said the other day, oh, wait a minute. Hold on. I see an avenue by which the Lakers can win a championship. What?
He said that? Oh, wow.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think that guys get, carried away. And then, a little another nugget. I had a chance to talk to Malika Andrews for a minute. And I really love her. I literally love her as a broadcaster. She's great. And I just walked up to her. I said, you know, I just want to say I do appreciate your work. And I'm a big fan. And stick with your guns, because I think sometimes people try to shoot her down as if she doesn't know what she was talking about. I think one of the things I looked at in particular was when Malika Andrews was talking about the whole thing, which was going on with Ime, and said, you cannot talk about the woman. And to a man, everybody and different fans, oh, yes, you can. You can talk about, you can put the name out there. No. In the world today, you cannot talk about the victim. I don't care what you do, you can't. And she was making that point. And then there were several people on the panel kept saying, well, you have to do something with her. No, as long as Ime was her subordinate, and she was Ime's subordinate, then right. I think that was always going to be more of a problem. And there's legal ramifications, which, you know, probably the Celtics have discussed, that Ime has discussed, that they didn't want to talk about anything else, or the woman's role, or whoever was the victim, who was the victim, and the victim, and then the perpetrator. So right. I think they made a fine line about doing that. Another thing I was disappointed by was the fact that I heard from Nia Long, Ime's fiance, and she went on to talk about how she had not heard from anybody in the organization. I'm a big Nia fan, Nia Long fan. I think that, you know, she has to understand too that I think it's damn if you do, damn if you don't. If Brad reaches out, they're still probably working on those legal things that went along with Ime leaving and him trying to say something that might be picked up publicly. And somebody would say, well, who's going to say anything publicly? You know, if Brad reached out and said something, well, you tell me the last time a conversation has been private in this world. Okay. Last time I saw something like that was when Osama bin Laden got killed. You know, nobody said a word about it until he was looking at guns in front of him. But other than that, there's always things that leak out. So I really feel bad for that situation. I understand where she's going. I had a chance several times to even email her myself, but I just wanted to, at that point, there's privacy, and then there's concern about that particular person. And she said, well, she just wanted, she felt like she was family, and nobody in the organization reached out to her. And I was really disappointed on both sides of that, from that standpoint of nobody reaching out, but at the other standpoint of understanding that there's a lot of stuff going on in the background that the Celtics might not want to open up that can of worms.
Yeah, it's a tough spot. That's a really tough spot to be in. You know, I see both sides. And the moment I heard read the quotes from Nia Long, I was like, man, you know what? That might've crossed my mind, but I never thought to myself, man, I hope the Celtics reached out to her. I hope that it really didn't, if I'm being honest. But when she mentioned it, it was like, man, it's a tough spot. What do you say exactly if you're the organization, right? Like, sorry you're going through this. Sorry that, you know, we had to remove the coat. I mean, then it's like, well, wait a minute. Maybe she doesn't want to hear that. Maybe she wants to hear the opposite. It's a tough spot to be in.
I mean, she said it was messy. And she felt like it wasn't, it shouldn't have been done publicly. But, you know, things in this world now, as long as there's TMZ and all these other things, nothing seems to be off limits right. when it comes to, you know, Bam and who she is and their child and all that stuff. There's a lot of stuff that, you know, one time people wouldn't talk about. But now I think it's a whole nother ball of wax. And it's very... What I'll say, finally, I'll just say it's very complicated on both sides.
You think you'll see Ime coaching anytime soon?
Not that I know of. I think Brooklyn was a good opportunity for him. But I think that when Kyrie said what he said about the documentary and all the things that went along with Kyrie and all the organizations, how do you bring Ime into the fold when you have women who are, well, groups who are, you know, activists over, you know, comments and things that happen in the workplace. Isn't there somebody now that's on NBC Good Morning America or one of those shows, a gentleman right now was having an affair with somebody and they're looking at him saying, how do we bring him back? So it's just an ugly, ugly situation what happened. And in Ime's case, is he good enough to be a coach? Yes, outstanding. But in today's world, how often do you get a second opportunity? Yeah. How often does that really happen, you know, for anybody? And I'll say it and publicly, especially for a coach of color. How often does he get an opportunity to get another chance at the wheel?
Right.
After do it like this, after he screwed it up.
Yeah, right, that's true. It's not very often. And you know what, I feel like The fact that everything was premature and that everyone assumed, or the reports popped out almost immediately after the Brooklyn Nets let go of Steve Nash, that he was going to be the next one in line, then came the backlash. So I think that almost makes things worse for Ime, because it was like, man, you know, 2 months later, after he's handed his suspension, or less than 2 months, he's lined up to get a head coaching job in the NBA again. And there was backlash immediately. It was so much pressure that the Brooklyn Nets, they balked on it. Let's face it. Yeah. Like they balked on that decision. They were gonna hire Ime. They were gonna bring him in. And they ended up going with Jacque Vaughn. And then now it's like, man, which organization across the league is gonna take that risk of trying to bring in Ime, knowing that backlash is coming, you know?
It's coming one way or another. That is so true. And in the market of New York to do that, it was going to be tough.
Right. And Max, he can't go to college. Let's face it, in Ime's case,
I think that he might have to work his way back. And if you work your way back, you started being an assistant coach.
Yeah, but Max, with this type of stain, though, going to college, working with
younger women
around.
I'm talking about the assistant coach in the pros.
Okay.
Maybe you can work backwards like that. And I know he probably wouldn't want to take a subservient role, but that might be the path that he has to go back in to, you know, show everybody that essentially he's doing the right thing.
Right. All right, Max, before we wrap up here, the loss against the Warriors, Celtics, is the worst loss of the season, if you ask me. Has that changed your opinion on this team whatsoever?
No, this team should put one and done. And, you know, that's why tomorrow night's game against the Clippers is going to be a huge game for the Celtics. Another one with the Lakers, another huge game. So, you know, the Celtics have had huge games. And if you look at it, for the most part, they've always excelled in those games. To lose a game like that against Golden State, it does happen. Because you're going to have – the only thing that bothered me, but it just seemed in that game that Jason Tatum was pressing. He was pressing in that game. And there were some things he just did out of character that he hadn't been doing all year. So we'll see how that goes.
Are the Warriors his kryptonite? Is this a mental thing? Is it like the ghost of NBA Finals past with him playing against this team?
I don't think so yet. I think, again, that was the game against the Warriors. So you'll see what happens in the next game. Sean Grandy, my broadcast partner, made a great observation after the Phoenix game. He said he felt that Jason Tatum wasn't going to have a game that was going to be in the middle. It was going to be a game where he was going to be lights out, you know, 12 for 18 from the three-point line, or it was going to be just the opposite. 2 for 14 from the three-point line, 3 or 4 turnovers. He wasn't going to have a mediocre game because of the pressure of playing against these guys in the past. So I'm going right now with one and done. And I think the Celtics right now still heads up right now, the best team right now in the league. And again, you didn't have Al Horford, who has definitely been a steadying factor for this team.
All right, lastly, Max, what's gotten into Jaylen Brown? The last time he scored fewer than 20 points was November 4th. That's how long it's been. He's been on a tear offensively. What do you think he's seeing differently?
Well, defenses are going to look at you differently. They're going to try to attack you and make you do things you don't want to do. When you go around the league and you get that one cycle, then the reports come about how to handle you, what you have to do. But he's been so effective, it doesn't bother me one way or the other with Tatum or Brown in this situation with their, you know, ability not to score in games. So I think that, you know what, they're gonna play lights out here over the next couple of games.
Jaylen Brown finishing with a team high 31 points. He was 13 of 23 from the floor. Again, another efficient night offensively for Jaylen. But of course, that was a. Wasn't enough, man. He needed some help. So we'll see how this team bounces back against the Los Angeles Clippers and the Lakers. I'm expecting a better effort from the second unit. I'm loving what I'm seeing from Malcolm Brogdon, but he needs some help. But like you said, you know, without Al Horford in the mix, it gets a little thin up front. So we'll see how they respond against the Los Angeles teams.
Yeah. I mean, they need to do what they're going to do. And before we go, you know, I'd like to say to all our viewers, you only make us stronger. Make sure you mash that subscribe button. To show us what we're doing and how you feel, and send in, you know what, send in a few more questions so we can get another grab bag.
Someone requested that on Twitter. They said they want another one of those.
Well, you tell them to start sending in the questions, and we'll, you know, one. We're going to answer it, because what do? We keep it on the what?
We keep it on a hundred.
Keep it on a damn hundred. So subscribe and join us. And again, it was, it's that time of the year. You know, James Worthy, you know what how I'm feeling about these next couple of games. But, you know, the game for the Lakers, I've already got my cigar. I'm already, and you know, I can't wait to, as James Worthy likes to do, can't wait to get some more of that Laker ass. Can't wait.
He's been quiet this year, Max. I wonder why. That's so weird.
I wonder why. All of a sudden, when Anthony Davis started playing great, he's like, oh my God, he's the MVP of this league.
Oh my gosh.
Come on, get out of here with this. Come on.
So he has 10 wins.
I think there's gonna be a lot of fun going up in that. You know, tomorrow with the Clippers doing television is gonna be different, but I can't wait for the Laker game the next day on Tuesday.